insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد والثناء لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المكرمين لا سيما بقية الله في العالمين روحي وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفداء. Assalamu alaikum, brothers and sisters. Welcome to our program again. We hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the understanding of more of His verses, inshallah. But let's first hear the verses.
ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها ألم تعلم أن الله على كل شيء قدير ألم تعلم أن الله له ملك السماوات والأرض وما لكم من دون الله من ولي ولا نصير.
We arrived at verse 106. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this verse that ما ننسخ من آية أو ننسها نأتي بخير منها أو مثلها. For any verse that we abrogate or remove from memories, we bring another which is better than it or similar to it. أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. Do you not know that Allah has power over all things? The verse has been mentioned regarding a question or a problem that was posed to the Muslim ideology, that the Jews apparently had posed to the Holy Prophet. And that is the issue of naskh. That is the issue of changing what mostly the word naskh is used for in our scripture. It is talked about rulings and laws and the changing of laws. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a reply to the problem that they have posed, says, we will not, or whatever verse that we abrogate, that's the equivalent of naskh, or remove from memories, nunsiha, cause people to forget about that verse, we will not, whenever we do that, we bring نَأْتِ بِخَيْرٍ مِنْهَا أَوْ مِثْلَهَا. We bring another, which is either better than it, or at least similar to it in terms of goodness. And then it says, do you not know that Allah has power over all things? Don't you know that He has the power to do that? And the next verse also deals with the same subject that in the continuation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَلَمْ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Do you not know that to Allah belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth? وَمَا لَكُمْ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِن وَلِيٍّ وَلَا نَصِيرٍ. And besides Allah, you do not have any guardian or any helper. It is all these, the last part of the first verse, 106, and also verse 107. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the answers of how he can do so. Their problem was, how could naskh be happening in the different ways that it does? One way that naskh happens is where you have a law, and that law changes in a religion. Let me expand on that a little bit so we can understand what naskh is, to be able to understand the full verse. We know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed all divine religions. We should know that. If we're not aware of that, or we haven't thought about that, we should know that. All divine religions, okay, have been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That includes all the laws that have been sent down to these people. Now, these laws change. What we have in Judaism is different than what we have in Christianity. Now, I know for most Christians today, there is no legal system. There is no boundaries of things that they need to stay away from and what we consider forbidden in our religion and also in Judaism. There is no such a thing according to their version of Christianity. However, we believe that there's been an alteration in that piece of the religion. And we believe when Jesus came, he did not omit the laws completely from his religion. It wasn't like God said, now from now on, there are no laws, you can do whatever you wish, and just if you believe in Jesus, you're going to be saved in the hereafter. We don't believe that. What we believe is that when Jesus was sent as the prophet to Bani Israel and to mankind as a whole, he told people that certain laws are taken away from them and they don't have to abide by certain laws. There were some difficult laws put into Judaism because of the stubbornness that the Jewish nation had in accepting and being obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They made fun of certain things. They did committed certain sins, as a large number of them did. And therefore, very harsh laws were put into their religion. When Prophet Jesus came, those were taken off and people didn't have to abide by those laws anymore. So those laws, they did exist in Judaism, but they were taken out when it came time for Christianity to be the religion of the people. Then when Islam came, again, the laws went through a change. The laws that were put aside, those are mansukh, and the law that is put into place and people have got to abide by, it is called the nasikh. Also within a religion like Islam, for example, this process of nasikh and a law being there and being put as part of the religion and people being commanded to act according to that and then changing that and having another law that exists in one religion as well. There are some examples in Islam, okay? One example that is talked about a lot in the science of fiqh, which is discussing the Islamic legal system, is an issue where at a certain time in Medina, the Holy Prophet was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell the people if they want to speak to him personally, they would have to give some charity, not to the Prophet, obviously, to the poor. They would have to give some charity to the poor, and then they would be allowed to speak about personal issues in private with the Holy Prophet. If you don't want to do that, then you cannot speak to the Prophet like that. This was a verse that was revealed. Then afterwards, another verse was revealed that from now on, you don't have to abide by that. For a very short period of time, that law was put in there and then it was taken out. Other laws exist. For example, something that we will be discussing in one of the following sessions, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands the Muslims, the mu'mineen, to excuse and forbear the mushrikeen or the Ahlul Kitab, those who are faithless from Ahlul Kitab. Don't fight with them. Just bear with them. Do not fight them. Do not wage war against them. Bear with them. This was set as the law at that time. Then it was changed at a certain period in the history of or the life of the Holy Prophet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to his Prophet that they need to now engage in war and battle with the Ahlul Kitab, the Jews there in around Medina. So we have this nasikh, that when you look at the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent to humanity, which from the beginning up to this day, there's always been a religion, there's always been a set of beliefs and a set of practices that people have had. When we look at it at that large scale, we see there's a lot more nasikh, but even within a religion like Islam, we see this concept of nasikh, where you have a law that is changed. The problem that Jews had with this is, how can that be? How could you change something? Now, obviously, let me first mention that this problem that was posed, it was not a matter of these people having a question regarding the issue that how can that be. They were basically posing this problem to say that this prophet is not the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a difference between the two. You may go to someone and ask him a question regarding something that they've said to clarify and understand how that can be. All right, this is one way to pose a question. Another way is to, you're trying to do character assassination or make people stop following this person to make them think that this person is a bad person or what he's talking about is absolutely absurd and it doesn't make sense. This is the approach that the Jews had towards this. They're saying, you know, this Nasr, how can that be? And this, the problem that they were posing with it is, okay, if God is making laws based on the good that it has for people, whatever law it may be, for example, in the examples that I mentioned, that don't wage war with the kuffar, with the Ahlul Kitab, with the Jews. If that is something that is set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's good for the people, then how can that change? How can God change that to something else? If that second thing was good for the people, then why didn't he give that from... Did God not know that this is good for the people, the second law? Or did he come to know that his first law was wrong and he made a mistake on that? How is that? This is the problem that was posed by the Jews. And there's two aspects to it. We just explained one of them. There's another aspect to this problem. Inshallah, we'll try to explain in the following session. And hopefully in that session, we'll be able to finish the explanation of the verse and what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives as a reply to this problem that is posed to the concept of naskh. Please join us next session so you can complete this idea of naskh and what our explanation for the problem that is posed is. Inshallah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا علام الغيوب يا كشاف الكروب يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوبي فعفوك مطلوبي
يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوبي فعفوك مطلوبي
يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب يا غفار الذنوب يا علام الغيوب يا كشاف الكروب يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوب فعفوك مطلوب
يا دافع الخطوب يا جابر المعطوف يا من هو مندوب فعفوك مطلوب
يا ستار العيوب يا